take a hike. I'm not even dead yet. That would be a pretty reasonable response to any son who came to you asking for his inheritance from your estate right now, wouldn't it? Take a hike. I'm not even dead yet. Isn't that what we would say? And prudence might dictate that that is the right thing to say. But that's not how the Father in Jesus' parable responds today, because Jesus is teaching us a lesson. Jesus is telling the story of the prodigal son because his enemies are criticizing the way he hangs around with sinners. The son in the story wants to break out on his own adventure, and he needs his father's estate money for that purpose. So Jesus wants to hone in on God's crazy love for sinners, God's great desire to have them come back, his great desire to have them experience his love. So instead of the father in the parable saying, "Take a hike, I'm not even dead yet," Jesus has the father in his parable exhibit a crazy love. But of course, there must be a deep wisdom in this crazy love, since the father in the parable represents God himself. What does a father do that is so crazy, motivated by love? First, he accepts the younger son's request for his portion of the estate. In fact, in order to distribute his estate right now, the father has to own that idea. He has to act like it's coming from him. It wouldn't be accepted in the culture of his day otherwise, so he gives the older brother his portion as well. Then, when the younger son finally returns, after making a mess of his life and finding himself in destitute poverty, the father sees him from a distance at the edge of town and runs to him so that the whole town can see the love and respect the father maintains for the son. This father is not worried about his own reputation. Love for his son is most important. The father hugs and kisses his son, dresses him in a festive robe, sandals, and a rich ring, and brings him into a spontaneous party to welcome this prodigal son back. It's a crazy love, meant to illustrate God's own approach to you and me. How else to explain the way our Heavenly Father sacrificed his only begotten Son, Jesus, for us, to save us from our sins? The big question is whether we in God's house now have let his love melt our hearts and pierce them to the deepest level. It seems this finally happened for the younger son as his father ran to embrace him. Perhaps you noticed that the younger son did not finish his planned speech. The son's original plan when he came to his senses out in the pig pen was to say to his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers." That's the pig pen plan. But when he actually encounters his father, he only says the first part of that rehearsed speech, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." The end. The second part of the speech never happens. The son never says, "Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers." Did the younger son just drop that line out of the speech because he didn't have time once his father ran up to him? No, he could have still said that line. The richer understanding, proven by the fact that the son actually accepted the clothing and the banquet, the richer understanding of why the son never said the line about being treated as a hired worker is simply that his father's crazy love finally melted his heart. He finally gave in to being a beloved son. Life with his father was no longer going to feel like an employer-employee transaction. It wasn't going to be any longer just going through the motions of household duties. It was finally going to be a father-son relationship, with all of the expressions of love given and love received that ought to be part of such a relationship. The crazy love of the father was there all along, But the younger son's heart was simply not in the right place to perceive it, to sense it, to be moved by it. Since the Father in Jesus' parable represents God himself, we can see that a huge reason why people leave the church, especially young people, is that somehow they have not, in their growing up years, really entered into the Father's love. And the grass is greener on the other side syndrome, or the false allure of the world, promising some type of greater adventure and fulfillment without God, this shallower stuff actually draws people away from the faith. That's one of the reasons we really need to develop in each household a family Catholic spirituality that is genuine, a spiritual life that truly builds up each member of the household and maintains them in their Heavenly Father's love. I bet you noticed in Jesus' story that the younger prodigal son who leaves the household and goes out on his own to make a mess of his life is not the only son with a problem in Jesus' parable. The older son is certainly not living life to the fullest in his father's house. Notice that he didn't even resist when his father gave him his portion of the estate, along with the other son. Shouldn't the older son have said, "No, Father, I don't want this. It's not right to do it this time." But he never said that. And then, when the older son is expressing bitterness to his father over the party thrown for the returned younger son, the older son says some pretty revealing stuff. He says that he has slaved for his father all these years and never once disobeyed his orders. Although the older son never left the household, his life within the household was just a matter of following orders, acting like a slave. In this way, the older son is just like the younger. The older son also has never been moved by his father's crazy love. There's been some obstacle all these years, and because he doesn't know his father's crazy love, he also doesn't share any love for his brother. Where is the rejoicing this older son ought to have now that his younger brother is back, alive and healthy? The older son's attitude is a beacon call to any of us who have never left the church, but who perhaps are going through the motions without having a heart warmed by our Heavenly Father's crazy love for us. The faith is not simply a matter of following rules, fulfilling rituals. All of the Catholic rules about morality and the rituals in our worship find their origin in the crazy love of our Heavenly Father. That's the only way that they make sense. Be encouraged in this Lenten season to ask your Heavenly Father to warm your heart with his love, to make himself real to you. Let's examine our practice of the faith and seek after the Lord in prayer until we know that we know him and his divine love motivates our life. It's our Heavenly Father's crazy love for us that motivates his gift to us of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in the Eucharist.